Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe. Discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
Your gut affects everything, even your mood. So Ollie created two brand new products to take care of your insides. Ollie Big 10 Probiotic has 10 strains of probiotics, their most ever, to support a healthy gut microbiome, immune system, and stress response. And Ollie Super Good Superfoods delivers 15 superfoods in tasty gummy form. Find them at Ollie.com and exclusively at Walmart.
Ollie!
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Christmas is the season of giving, but it can be difficult to know who on your list wants what. Save yourself the guesswork by giving the gift of choice. Whether you're buying for the foodie, fashionista, or homebird of the family, they'll love a Dunn Stores gift card. They can choose from everything we have in store and online, from fashion to homewares to groceries. It's the perfect choice to make this Christmas. Visit dunnstores.com for details. Make Christmas for everyone. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly.
And I am your co-host, Austin.
And today we are giving you an update on the Murdoch case. So
the case that never ends.
The case that literally
and
never
insanity.
Seems to
it's
end.
It's going on live. Like we're unraveling this new info.
Yes.
As it happens.
Yeah, and it's crazy because even as I finished writing this episode, more information was coming out and I was getting emails and I'm just like, I gotta put a stop to it somewhere, right? So if you'll remember, when we finished part two, I made a statement at the end that I didn't want to talk about this anymore, but that if there were any big updates, I, of course, would let you all know. And I assumed that the updates would be small enough to just add to the beginning of a separate story, right? But here we are with a whole new episode dedicated solely to the updates in this case, because every single day, like I said,
breaking news.
Yeah, there's more breaking stuff. And
And it's not just little stuff, it's big stuff. So my goal with this episode today is to give you a chronological timeline of how things have unfolded since our last episode. So Austin, if you'll remember, we left off with the shocking unsolved shooting deaths of Paul and Maggie Murdoch. So that happened on June 7th. They were gunned down on a family property discovered by the father and husband, Alec Murdoch, who said he just stumbled upon the crime scene on his way home from visiting his terminally ill father, who unfortunately died just days later. And we discussed possible suspects in that double homicide of Paul and Maggie, but as of today, there still have not been any arrests in that case. So we kind of just talked about, like, theories, right? Just who may have done it.
And there was a theory that the family who had a death of a guy on a rural road.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Smith.
Stephen Smith's family had something to do with it.
That was just a theory. A theory, exactly. And then there was also theories that maybe it was someone connected to Mallory Beach who passed away in the boat crash with Paul. None of these theories have been confirmed, so they are still just that. But we're not here to talk about that today. We're here to talk about what happened on September 3rd.
Like a few days after the episode.
Literally the day after we released that last episode.
Yeah, so nuts.
So Alex's law firm announced on September 3rd that they were forcing Alec to resign after it was discovered that he had been misappropriating funds. And a source close to the firm says that the amount is around $5 million. But the law firm has not confirmed that. It could be more. It could be less.
But he resigned.
He was forced to resign. Then that next day on Saturday, September 4th, okay, this was Labor Day weekend, around 1:30 p.m., Alec Murdoch was traveling on Old Sacahatchie Road. I probably just butchered that, but in Hampton County. And he was supposedly driving to Charleston when he noticed an indicator light come on that one of his tires was low. So he was driving his late wife's Mercedes-Benz SUV. And important to note is that he was traveling on a back road, not on a major highway. I looked up a map just to see what the directions would have been like to get from his home in Moselle to Charleston. And it gives you routes that include these major highways. And Old Sacahatchie, however you say it, was not one of those routes. So, I mean, it's a little odd that he was taking this back road, but whatever. But also, the Mercedes he was driving was equipped with run-flat tires, which are capable of enduring 50 miles on, like, with no air due to an enhanced durability. So even though he had these special tires and he was only 7 miles from home, I mean, he could have just gone home rather than pull over to the side of the road. So that was another thing.
I can see him pulling over, though, to check him.
Like, just to check him, sure. But
you start hearing tires go, wah, 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 wah. You're going to get out and check it, run flat or not.
Sure. But then Alec told his family and his attorney, John Griffin, that he was outside of his car assessing his tire when a truck drove past him, then turned around at St. John's Baptist Church nearby and came back towards him. And John Griffin said that according to Alec's original statement, the driver of the truck came to a stop and asked if he was having car trouble, to which Alec replied that he didn't know if he could change the tire or if he even had tools to do so. But then, to his surprise, the driver pulled out a gun and just shot him and then drove off. And the details about this driver were vague, just that it was a male driving a blue pickup truck, but he didn't provide any other details.
And when we first heard this, Kelly was like, oh my God, he got shot on a side road. But there was no details at all. And it was
Correct.
Like the next day when some details came out, right?
Yeah, slowly but surely things, you know, little details started coming out. And I thought, I was like, this just is so bizarre. Like, for so many things to be surrounding this family, I made a TikTok. It was my first TikTok. If you're on there, go follow me, Mom Mystery. But I made a TikTok just saying, like, you know, this is like a can of worms. This story is like an onion. There are so many layers to this story. And just when you think you've reached like the core, No.
Well, I'm sure you were going to say this, but like just to get this out because this is important. He got shot in the head.
Correct. Yeah. So, and I'll get to that in just a second. So the driver of the truck drove off and Alec called 911 himself to report that he had been shot in the head. And Hampton County Sheriff's deputies responded to the scene and Alec was ultimately airlifted to an area hospital with what were initially believed to be just superficial injuries. So a superficial injury is essentially a wound that leaves the deeper skin layers intact. They're essentially injuries to like the surface of your body. They don't typically involve muscle tissue or damage to internal organs.
But it was in his head.
Yes. And many of you are probably already aware that any cut to the head typically bleeds profusely, making it really confusing as to whether or not it's superficial or deeper. So the protocol is to treat it like it's a critical injury. An initial report included a box checked off stating, this is in the police report, stating that Alec Murdoch was found with no visible injuries. But then Sheriff Thomas Smalls, or otherwise known as TC, told Fox News that that was just an error and that the report had been updated. So that was a huge issue for a lot of people. They were like, this report isn't matching up. It's saying that he has no injuries, but it was just a mistake. The updated report indicated that a major injury occurred, and also authorities subtly changed the boxes for using alcohol and using drugs from no to unknown in both categories.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. So Alec Murdoch's injuries were confirmed at the hospital and included an entry and exit wound, a skull fracture, and minor brain bleeding in two places, which is what his lawyer confirmed that Thursday. The wound, he said, was not self-inflicted, but the whole story left a lot of people confused and a little suspicious of that.
What are the odds you get shot in the head and you don't die anyways? Like, it's got to be slim to none, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know it happens, but yeah, I mean, you would think this is just too weird. I don't know. Let me just keep going. So then 2 days later, on the 6th, Alec Murdoch released a statement, and the statement read, quote, "The murders of my wife and son have caused an incredibly difficult time in my life. I have made a lot of decisions that I truly regret. I'm resigning from my law firm and entering rehab after a long battle that has been exacerbated by these murders. I am immensely sorry to everyone I've hurt, including my family, friends, and colleagues. I ask for prayers as I rehabilitate myself and my relationships," end quote.
Freaking weird.
So yeah, so then it comes out that he's going to rehab for a drug addiction. And then it kind of starts making those suspicions even stronger. Like, this doesn't seem right. It seems like this is way too fishy, that he would just get shot in the head in the middle of the day off some road. Like, I don't know, I just seemed too weird. I was suspicious of it. I know a lot of people were. So by that Wednesday, his law license was indefinitely suspended by the South Carolina Supreme Court. And, you know, I'll admit, when I first watched all of this unfold, I thought this was a failed suicide attempt. And I actually had people commenting on the post on Instagram about this. And I agreed with some people who said that they thought it was a failed suicide attempt and that it wasn't, like, this random driver wasn't involved. In fact, I heard that the slice in his tire was made by a knife, which was found nearby and connected to Alec Murdoch. So it just all seemed like he's setting this up to look like a suicide.
He got out, sliced his tire, picks up a gun, shoots himself. Where was the gun found?
Okay, so let me get to that. So anyway, it just seemed like Alec Murdoch's life was completely falling apart. Every single day, this new jaw-dropping allegation or event was coming out. He went from being, I want you to put this in perspective, okay? He went from being one of South Carolina's leading lawyers from a well-known, prominent legal family, former president of the South Carolina Association for Justice, to inadvertently being involved in the boat crash death of a beautiful young girl, Mallory Beach, to losing his wife and son in an unsolved double homicide, to then losing his father to cancer that same week, to being forced to resign from the law firm that he worked for when it was discovered he had been stealing. And then to top it all off, he gets shot in a random attack on the side of the road. Like,
all in
the span of a couple months.
Or a year, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, of one summer. So
a wild summer.
Yeah, so it just seemed way too fishy to be true. You know, this is wilder than fiction. And sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. But it all just seemed to culminate into what I believed was a failed suicide attempt. And I know I wasn't alone in that assumption. And we were right.
No way.
After Alex was released from the hospital, he immediately entered rehab for his opioid addiction. And it was there that he admitted to his lawyers, John Griffin and Dick Harpootlian, what really happened that day on that back road.
When did this come out?
So this came out earlier this week, and his lawyer released a statement that reads, quote, "On September 4th, it became clear Alec believed that ending his life was his only option. Today, he knows that's not true. For the last 20 years, there have been many people feeding his addiction to opioids. During that time, these individuals took advantage of his addiction and his ability to pay substantial funds for illegal drugs. One of those individuals took advantage of his mental illness and agreed to take Alec's life by shooting him in the head. Fortunately, Alec was not killed by the gunshot wound. Alec is fully cooperating with SLED in their investigations into his shooting, opioid use, and the search to find the person or people responsible for the murder of his wife and son. Alec is not without fault, but he is just one of many whose life has been devastated by opioid addiction," end quote.
That's freaking wild.
So, yesterday, on September 14th, agents from SLED arrested 61-year-old Curtis Edward Smith in connection to Alec Murdoch's assisted suicide. Curtis Smith has been charged with a variety of charges. So, assisted suicide, assault and battery of a high aggravated nature, pointing and presenting a firearm, insurance fraud, and conspiracy to commit insurance fraud, since the reason Alec hired someone to kill him, excuse me, was to allow his life insurance benefits to be paid out to his one surviving son, Buster, to the tune of $10 million. Curtis has also been charged with distribution of methamphetamine and possession of marijuana.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Exactly. So Dick Harpootlian, sorry, that is a difficult name to say.
Dick H.
Yeah, Dick H. revealed that this was all an attempt on Alec's part to protect his child, Buster. But since the suicide was a fail, he didn't want law enforcement to waste any time on this fake crime when they could be investigating the death of his wife and son. Which to me, that kind of just like raised a red flag in my head, because I was thinking, well, what were you planning on doing if you died? Like, of course they would have been looking for whoever killed you. And that would have taken away looking for whoever killed Maggie and Paul. So that didn't really make a lot of sense to me when I read that, but whatever. Dick went on the Today Show, and rather than me go on and just read the transcript to you, I thought it would be better if I just play that interview for you, because I feel like it reveals a lot of good information. So I'm going to go ahead and play that now.
Run it. Joining us now exclusively is Alec Murdoch's attorney, Dick Harpootlian. Dick, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
So, Dick, you've prosecuted serial killers, university presidents. You've represented some characters over the year. You have to admit, this is a pretty unbelievable story. Your client claiming that he paid someone to shoot him to collect $10 million in insurance money and the guy missed. Is that the story?
Well, let me elaborate. On Monday, Jim Griffin and I, Alec's attorneys, traveled to an out-of-state detox facility where we actually had the first conversation we've ever had with him when he wasn't on opioids or oxy. And as a result of that, he clearly knew what he had done was wrong and explained to us a couple of things. One, the murder of his son and wife 90 days ago took a tremendous toll on him. His father died of cancer that same week. Most people couldn't get through that. He got through it with the use of opioids. And then last week, a week ago actually, it was uncovered that he had converted some client and law firm money to his own use, and again spent most of that on opioids. And on that Saturday morning, he was trying to get off the opioids. He was not taking any of them, was in a massive depression, realized that things were going to get very, very, very bad, and he decided to end his life. He believed that $10 million policy had a suicide exclusion. Suicide exclusions are only good for 2 years, and he didn't realize that. So he arranged to have this guy shoot him. Now, what's amazing about this, this guy is somebody that was providing, and by the way, Alex is totally cooperated with SLED. We called SLED. They didn't call us. And gave them the whole statement, indicated he called this guy who met him on the side of the road, agreed to shoot him in the head, this fake car breakdown. 30 minutes later, this guy shooting him in the head. Didn't try to persuade him not to do it, didn't hesitate at all. There was an entrance and exit wound. It was, and Alec indicated he collapsed. He was blind for a while before he was taken to the hospital. So it was an attempt on his part to do something to protect his child. He didn't want law enforcement spending more time on this fake crime instead of focusing on solving the murders of Maggie and Paul.
Okay, so let's talk about Maggie and Paul here, Dick, because your client lied about the circumstances under which he was shot. It wouldn't be a stretch for folks to think that he probably also lied about the circumstances under which his wife and son were shot.
Well, I've spent the last year and a half with Maggie and Paul and Alec. I represented Paul on the boat case, met with them dozens of times. They were very affectionate. Maggie and Paul and Alec all together, Maggie and Alec holding hands. He is totally distraught. We've talked to him at length about it this week. Clearly, he is distraught about their deaths.
Dick, he didn't murder them. Does he perhaps know who did and why?
I don't think he does. But Jim Griffin and I are working on and investigating an individual or individuals we believe may have some culpability or had done it. And we're in the process of doing that. We're not SWED. We're not law enforcement. We don't have their tools. But we think we'll know this week whether the one suspect we're looking at bears further scrutiny. And we'll make that information available to law enforcement.
And what would the motive have been?
I'm sorry?
What would the motive be?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit.
What would the motive be, Dick?
Well, that would reveal who that person is, but it's personal. The motive would be personal.
These reports that your client stole millions of dollars from the law firm, did he use all of that money to buy drugs, or did he use some of the millions for other things?
The vast majority of it, as I understand it, was used to buy drugs.
That's a lot of oxy.
In his interview that we made him available for on Monday with SLED on the phone from the detox center, he explained he wrote checks for most of this. And gave them the bank accounts, totally cooperated, and told them how to find out how much he spent, where it went, where the bank accounts were, what went in, what came out, and what was spent, checks written to drug dealers.
Do you fully expect that your client is going to be arrested in the near future?
Yes, I think he will be charged. I think that what he doesn't want and we don't want is an effort to deal with these issues, distracting from and using law enforcement resources that could be used to solve the murders of Maggie and Paul.
And again, to be clear, there's no connection between the shooting on the side of the road that he faked and the killing of his wife and son.
None whatsoever, except he was in a dark, dark, dark place and wanted to help his son in any way he could, the remaining son, Buster, in any way he could. And he thought this was the only way he could leave him with anything.
Alec Murdoch's attorney, Dick Karpotlian, with us this morning. Dick, thank you. Thanks for your time, sir.
All right. So what are your thoughts, Austin?
I think it's buck wild and it doesn't stop. And there's going to be more coming out this week. And this is nuts.
Yeah, I'm curious to know who this person of interest is that they're curious about.
If it's personal. Who's that make you think it is?
My initial thought is that it's someone in that drug world that maybe he owed money to, or someone that was trying to send a message. If it's personal, I mean, it's really hard because that's such a vague statement.
Because it could be, what's the girl that passed away?
Mallory Beach.
And who was her boyfriend that was pissed that night at Paul?
Right. I mean, it could have been personal in that regard.
There's a lot of personal people against these people.
Yeah, there's a lot of families who have been negatively affected by the Murdoch family, which brings me to my next point, Austin.
I think it's drug related too.
So
that's a lot of money to spend on drugs.
It is. And then it just came out that the coroner said that Gloria Shatterfield, who was their housekeeper, who passed away in 2018, she was the Murdoch family's housekeeper. She passed away at their house, and her death was ruled natural on the death certificate. But apparently that was inconsistent with injury sustained in a trip and fall incident. So it was like originally ruled that she died from natural causes due to just an accidental trip and fall.
Wait, when did this come out?
So this happened in 2018, but it's just now coming out that SLED is going to reopen that case and investigate because there was a settlement that came out of her death where the family was supposed to be awarded, I believe, $500,000. They have not received a single dime.
How long has he been on drugs?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't
Probably
know.
For a
Probably
while.
A long time, though.
Gosh.
So, and that's just another layer to this onion. I mean, that's a whole nother story in itself, is the death of their housekeeper. So, I mean, this is just absolutely insane. I fully expect a Dateline episode or two or five to be dedicated to this story. And I imagine that the next steps here will be that Alec will hopefully complete his stay in rehab. And upon release, he'll probably be charged for the crimes he's committed, which will likely be related to the insurance fraud, the drug use, the misappropriated funds. And who knows?
To kill you.
Right. Who knows what else at this point? This is, like I've said, an ongoing and developing story that literally changes by the minute, it seems like. And every single day there's something new. Multiple podcasts have dedicated entire shows to this story. And we have here are three episodes, which is the most I've ever written for just one story. So unlike last time where I said I won't be talking about it anymore, I'm sure I will have updates for you in the future.
How old is Buster?
Oh, I think he's in his 20s. I can't think of his age off the top of my head, but stay tuned for more updates. But in the meantime, we are going to switch gears and talk about a different story in our next episode, which is the murder of Bianca Devins. So I hope you'll stick around for that as we intend to debut that episode later this week. Thank you so much for listening.
Hold on. I'm going to add something.
Oh, okay.
I just Googled Buster.
Okay.
He's 25.
Mm-hmm.
This was released September 13th, so 2 days ago on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And it said he was seen for the first time. He looks like he's dumping trash or something. And it said Buster, 25, refused to answer DailyMail.com's questions when approached, but did acknowledge that he had spoken to his father in recent days. He said, "I have no interest in commenting on any of y'all's questions." He was seen with a woman believed to be a family member arriving at the family beach home early Friday afternoon. Dressed casually in flip-flops, chinos, and a white t-shirt bearing the logo Blue Heaven, Buster packed up belongings, loaded them to a waiting Cadillac. He is the solo heir to his father's South Carolina legal dynasty after his brother Paul, 22, and Maggie, 52, were shot dead in June.
Which, as of now, there's probably not going to be much left of that dynasty, if I had to guess.
Gosh.
It's a really unfortunate
situation.
Which
he had no idea his dad was on drugs, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know. I've had a parent addicted to things. I won't go into that, but I was very aware. But we, you know, our family kept it as quiet as we could. We didn't just air it out there. And I know they were probably the same way, especially being this prominent, well-known family. They don't want people knowing. I mean, I'm sure people knew, but it wasn't this wide-known thing like, hey, Alec Murdoch's on opioids.
Right.
So
crazy. Mama. Yeah.
See you soon.
Out.
Bye. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things that people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see what you can save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.